Hallelujah. Good morning. It's wonderful to be with you. My dad once told me to remember one thing, that wherever you go, God's people are the best people in the world. So it's a privilege to be with you here this morning. My name is David. I have an interesting surname. My surname is Shutt. S-H-U-T-T. You can imagine my school life, can't you? David, Shutt, yes, the window. And that was just the teachers as well. So that's what they used to do. But call me Dave. When people call me David, I half expect my mum to be somewhere in the room and telling me off. But it is a pleasure to be with you. I come from All Nations Church, just the other side of the Gabalfa roundabout, Gabalfa Menachty that way. They send their greetings. We meet every week and we lift up and we pray for the churches in the city. It is a great privilege to be able to be with you, and thank you for the invitation. We pray for you weekly, that God would uphold you for the work that you are doing here in Llanrwmni as well, and just wherever you reach into. Isn't it wonderful to be a part of the people of God? Such a big city, such a big world, yet our God is ruler over everything, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I was reading just this morning in Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is when people dwell together in unity. For it's that place that God says, I command a blessing. So we are blessed here today because he's with us. I've been waiting on the Lord for a word, and I believe he's given me a word for this morning and for tonight. I don't know if people come to both meetings here. I'm very challenged that you meet twice a day. We only have the one service at All Nations, so this is an extra blessing for me. But it's something of a two-parter, but if you don't come tonight, that's okay. You won't miss out. But I'd like to, if it's okay, I'd like to talk about you this morning. This morning, I'd like to talk about what it is that you have in your hand, and this evening, I'd like to talk about who we are in the Lord. You know, it's really important that we always know and we understand who we are from his perspective. I don't know about you, it's probably just me here, but I am the worst critic of myself. I can be hard on myself, tough on myself, but that's not the way the Lord sees us, is it? He loves us. He encourages us. He's always pushing us forward. And I wonder if you have a Bible with you this morning, if you would turn to the book of Ephesians. We'll start there and I'll just read a quick verse. I'm reading this morning from the New International Version. Lots of different translations these days. I'm still an NIV sort of person. That was the version I was brought up on. And it says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I love this scripture. For we are his workmanship. If any of you have the New Living Translation with you this morning, it will say this, for we are God's masterpiece. Isn't that a beautiful image? You think of all the wonderful paintings and sculptures around the world that we consider to be masterpieces, how the crafter or the painter or the sculptor took their time over them. That's how the Lord formed us. That's how the Lord formed you. He took his time over you and he looks at you every day and he says, there is my masterpiece. I'm thrilled. And now I just want to show you off to the world. Now the difficulty for me with that scripture is the tension between believing what God says about me and how I feel about myself. And I have to put my faith in what God says about me. But it says something else about us as well. It says, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. And not only are we his masterpiece, but he has created us in such a way because he has things for us to do. And right here from this verse, I understand that who we are in Christ and what we're called to do are inextricably linked. We're called as Christians and we're called to be Christians. We're called not just to come and fill a seat on a Sunday, but we're called to be a witness for Jesus Christ. We read the scriptures up there together, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him. Well, we're the mouthpiece of God, aren't we? We're Christians. That's what we're called to do. I like it says in the book of James, chapter 2. It says, you know, I'll show you my faith by that which I do. Faith without actions, therefore, is dead. But who we are in Christ, our identity in him, tells us immediately a little bit about what we're supposed to do. The church is a body, Paul writes in Corinthians, doesn't he? Says he uses this wonderful picture. The church is a body, and each part is absolutely vital. Now, sometimes I feel like a little finger. Sometimes I feel like a little toe, maybe an earlobe. I don't know about you. Sometimes I don't feel very important. But Paul encourages us from the word, that's completely okay. The body is made up of many parts, and each part is absolutely vital. And you may be here this morning and you feel like a little toe or the ankle, but God wants you to know, no, you are my masterpiece. And you are fearfully and wonderfully made. What's that? Psalm 139, isn't it? What a wonderful scripture. My son was asking me about that. Dad, what does that mean? I was fearfully made. Should I look in the mirror and be terrified? Ah! I said, well, sometimes it is like that in the morning. When I look in the mirror, I feel absolutely terrified. Who is this figure looking back at me? But it's just like how the word encourages that we walk in the fear of the Lord. It's not with terror, but it's with a sense of awe and reverence, isn't it? And we have been fearfully and wonderfully made. So when I look in the mirror this morning, I look and there's a sense of, not terror, faith speaks, but I say, oh, I believe who you say I am, Lord Jesus. I'm your masterpiece, fearfully and wonderfully made. Now I'm going to do the things that you've called us to do. So you are his masterpiece. And I'd like to start with that scripture, and I'd like to just talk a little bit about the things that we can do as his masterpiece. So if you have your Bible still, would you turn to the Gospel of John and chapter 6? I'd like to read a passage of scripture from verse 1 through to the end of verse 13, a very famous story from the Bible you'll be very familiar with. John 6, verse 1 to 13. Again, reading from the NIV. So sometime later, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish festival of Passover was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one just to have a single bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Now gather all the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Praise the Lord. That is a true story. It's a true story. It's a true account. 100% true. It happened. It's in the Word of God. I believe it to be true. And it's a very famous story. Perhaps you remember this from Sunday school days. I certainly do. But it's interesting, this is the only miracle of Jesus that's recorded in all 4 of the Gospels. Now, if you like Bible study and you like things of Bible numerology and the importance of things, that tells me something because the number 4 in Scripture often tells us about the world. And I believe this is a significant miracle that Jesus does, recorded by 4 Gospel writers. It tells us something that Jesus has enough when he is broken to go into all the world. There's enough for everybody. There's enough Jesus to go around. And many people try and debunk Scripture, don't they? They try and explain away with a rational mind, taking away faith. They'll try and get rid of the miraculous. And I've heard experts, so-called, in my opinion, say, well, of course, at this day, at this time, the loaves of bread were huge loaves. And the fish that they would have caught would have been huge fish. And I think, well, that might be true. But I still can't imagine a little boy being packed away with his lunch of 5 huge loaves and a couple of sharks being sent away for a Sunday lunch. Can you imagine that? And even if it was true, would that much bread and loaves still be enough for 5,000 men, let alone women and children? It was an absolute miracle. And so what were they going to do? What were they going to do? And Jesus says, knowing what he had in mind to do, well, how are we going to feed these people? Where are they going to get bread? And the disciples begin to think, gosh, I really don't have an answer to that. not even 2 weeks' wages. I think one expert has worked it out. Not even $5,000, £3,000 would feed all these people. And none of us have got any money with us. And then Andrew pipes up. And he says, well, there's a little boy here. And he's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what good are they amongst so many? And it's almost as if, even as the words are coming out of his mouth, that he regrets ever saying something. I don't know if you noticed that. Have you ever said anything silly before like that? And so before the sentence even gets to the end, you kind of wish you hadn't said anything. I've done that. I've been in the cinema. And just as the lights are going down and the film's about to start, I see someone I recognize over to my left. And I say, oh, hello, Roger. What are you doing here? And before you even finish the well, of course I know what you're doing here. We're all here to see the same thing. When my son was born, and my wife and I, we bought a pushchair. They don't ask you to take any sort of test. They should really consider that. And as I'm doing my best, getting used to the steering functions, and I would accidentally, not on purpose, accidentally go into somebody's ankle at speed to the point that you could hear plastic crunch against the shin bone. And with the best one, I'd say, oh, I'm sorry, did I get you? As they're reeling on the floor in pain. You can say something a bit silly sometimes and kind of regret it the moment it comes out your mouth. And I wonder if Andrew had one of those moments. I wonder if the disciples around him listening to Andrew were just sort of, oh, Andrew, you should have kept that thought to yourself. In fact, thinking about it, I nearly called this message, Don't Be So Stupid, Andrew. But I thought that could be offensive to anyone named Andrew. I don't know if there's anyone here called Andrew here today, but praise God, this is not about you. It's about the Andrew in the scripture. Even as he's speaking, he's almost regretting it. But in Matthew's account of this miracle, it's recorded that Jesus says this. Don't worry about that. Bring them to me. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Bring them to me. Now, we started by saying we are God's workmanship. And we've been created for good works that he wants to do with us. He has prepared things for each and every one of us as his masterpiece to do. Sometimes I feel like something insignificant at the size of the task. Sometimes I feel, gosh, I just feel like 5 loaves and 2 fish trying to feed 5,000 men, let alone women and children. And if I have that thought about myself, I can very quickly withdraw and think, oh gosh, Lord, I'm not the answer to this solution, to the problem that you've got before me. But Jesus would say to me, and Jesus would say to all of us, bring them to me and let me show you what I can do. I don't know if you've ever done that. I don't know if you've ever offered yourself, said in a moment of wonderful worship, even as we enjoyed this morning, Lord, here I am, like Isaiah, here I am, send me. And then that opportunity comes and you go to take that step of boldness and you just think, oh, no, maybe not. You see someone sick and you just think, you're on the bus and you see someone sick, you think, oh, I know you're the healer, Lord, I know you can heal this. You told me I could lay my hands on the sick and you'll heal them, Lord Jesus. So give me the boldness. No, I can't do it. I can't do it. Or maybe a colleague at work or a family member, and they ask you that wonderful question. A great opening for the gospel presents itself. And you think, I just want to share the life of and love of Jesus Christ right now. But no, who am I? I can't do this. I felt like that many times. But the Lord would say to each and every one of us, don't worry about how you see yourselves. I see you as my masterpiece. What you have may seem small, but bring it to me and let me show you what I can do with it. See, Jesus takes the bread and he takes the fish and he gives thanks to them and he breaks them and not only feeds 5,000 men and all the women and all the children that are gathered there, but he says, let nothing be wasted. Gather it all up and 12 baskets full are left over. Isn't that incredible? And the Lord would say to us, we may sometimes feel small at the size of the task. We may feel small at the size of the animosity, perhaps, towards the gospel message or towards what we would like the world to see in presenting that Jesus loves the world and you've just got to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth and you'll be saved. And that can seem such a big task and we can feel so small, but the Lord would just say, if you'll give me what you have, just see what I can do with it. No, God wants to use all of us. Cardiff is a big city. My family and I, we live in Caerphilly. So it's a kind of its own little town in itself. It's got its own castle. Everyone in Caerphilly likes to think they're not in Cardiff, but you know, we're deceived. We're only 2 miles out. But everyone thinks you put a small hill in the way that we call Caerphilly Mountain and we put some sort of barrier in. But I look at Caerphilly and I travel over the mountain when I travel home and I think, gosh, Lord, I can see all these thousands and thousands of houses. How are they going to know? How are they going to hear about you? Who am I? Who are my family in such a big, sprawling place? Who am I? Maybe I should just pull up my blanket and just stay warm and just keep what I've got on the inside. But the Lord would say to me, and the Lord would say to you where you live, you may feel small, but I'll take what you have and I'll give thanks for it and I'll break it. I will use it and I will feed the world. Now, I'm greatly encouraged by that because it means I have something to give. That picture of the body as well, every part is absolutely vital. I like what Paul says about the body. He says that in 1 Corinthians 14, every time you gather together, each one of you has something. A song, a prayer, a Bible scripture, a smile, an encouragement, a hug, an embrace. Every one of us this morning came to participate, didn't we? Every one of us came and the Lord gave us something to do. You think, oh, not me, Lord, because I came to sit in my seat and because I feel quite small. But the Lord would say, no, lift up your head. I'll take what you have. Now see what I can do with it. I'd like to turn you to another scripture, if I can, this time in the Old Testament, if you're turning to the scriptures, in the book of Exodus, to chapter 4. I'm very proud of myself. Before I started speaking, I remembered to start my stopwatch. That's always an encouragement to you as much as to me. But it's wonderful to read the scriptures. Again, we'll look at another famous character from the Bible now. Anybody heard of Moses? Should really ask anybody not heard of Moses, shouldn't I? To Exodus 4. You see, the Bible is full of examples of what God can do with men and women who just say, what I have might not be much, Lord, but I give it to you. And they're full of examples of how the Lord takes it and blesses and does something amazing. I think that's incredible. I think our God is so good and wonderful and so faithful. No matter what we think we have or no matter how we measure ourselves, God is able to work wonders with the smallest of things and the smallest of people. He makes us into a wonderful people of God. So Exodus 4, the story so far, just in case you've never read this scripture, is the Israelites, the people of God, are in captivity in Egypt. And they're grumbling, the Lord says, has come up before me and I've heard their cry. And so Moses is called and Moses is a shepherd. He's out with his flock when suddenly he sees something a little unusual. He sees a bush which is burning, but it's not being consumed. It's not being burnt up. And that's a bit of a wonder. So he wanders over to look at it. And as he gets closer, he hears the voice of God speak to him. Take off your shoes, Moses, for this is holy ground. I've heard the grumblings and groaning and cries of my people. And now I'm sending you, Moses, one man, to deliver upwards of 2 million Israelites. You're going to be the one I'm going to use. And it takes us to here, to Exodus 4, verse 1. Moses answered, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? What if they say, the Lord didn't appear to you? Then the Lord said to Moses, what is that in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. So Moses threw it on the ground and it became a snake and he ran from it. Well, you would, wouldn't you? I would. I'd run a mile. Then the Lord said to him, now reach out your hand and take it by the tail. So Moses reached out and took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. We'll stop there. We'll come back to the story in just a little while. What's that in your hand, Moses? It's just a staff. It's not really a staff. I mean, it's a staff. Now, it's a bit of wood I found. I was out tending the sheep, and I needed something to help me get over some of the terrain and something just to help guide and nurture the sheep as they were maybe getting too close to the edge. So it's a bit of wood, and as I've spent time under the stars, I've whittled it down, I've made it my own, and my hand fits just here right now. It's a bit of a security thing. I just feel confident when I've got it. It's my staff, Lord. It's nothing special. I didn't buy it in a shop. It's not ornamental. It's not ceremonial. It's just a staff of wood. Throw it down. And he throws it down. It becomes a snake. Scares the life out of Moses. But then in faith, he does what the Lord tells him. He picks it back up and it turns back into his staff. And God says, now, this is what you're going to take with you as a sign that I've appeared to you. He took what was in his hand, he threw it down, and in obedience to a command from God, God performs a wonder. What is in your hand? In the Hebrew, that word for hand, strict in its strictest sense, means what's in your open hand? And I feel that the Lord would ask us a question this morning. What do we hold open-handed towards the Lord? No, you can't have this, it's mine. No. What do you hold? What do you have? We are his workmanship, created to do great works that he's prepared in advance for us to do. So he knows everything about us. So what do we hold open-handed for the Lord to use? It's a good question to ponder. And Exodus 4, the story moves on, so Moses begins to say, well, it's not just that, I can't speak very well. So the Lord says, fine, your brother Aaron can go with you, he'll speak for you. And verse 17 says this, so take this staff in your hand so you can perform my wonders through it. Suddenly this staff, this piece of wood that he's carried around with him, is going to be used by the Lord Most High to perform his wonders. Just a staff, just a piece of wood. What's in your hand? It's just a staff, Lord. Take it with you. Because with this, I'm going to perform my wonders. I think that's incredible that God can do extraordinary things through very ordinary things. I consider myself an ordinary person. But with God, and I'm not boasting in myself as we sang, we boast only in the Lord. In God, I'm extraordinary. He makes me that way because we're all called of God. We are his masterpiece. And let's read on from verse 18. I find this scripture mind-blowing. Verse 18 to 20. Then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, let me return now to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive. Jethro said, go, I wish you well. Verse 19. Now the Lord had said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you are dead. Verse 20. Listen to this. So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt, and took the staff of God in his hand. Sorry, the staff of what? The staff of Moses. No. The staff of God. Isn't that incredible? What started out as Moses, lay it down. What's in your hand? Put it down for me. Laying it down in faithfulness, God performs the wonder. He says, take it up. The staff of Moses became the staff of God in faithfulness to a command. Isn't that incredible? What's in your hand? Just a smile. Lord, it's all I've got this morning. I've not had the best week, Lord. I just feel I've got, maybe I can encourage someone. That's all I've got. Lay it down. Would you give it to me? And that encouragement becomes the encouragement of the Lord, because as you speak out the word, that person, the word penetrates them and builds them up in their spirit. That smile thing, all I've got this morning is a smile, Lord. I'm so tired. You don't know the week I've had, Lord. He does know the week we've had. You don't know the week I've had. All I've got is a smile as I greet someone. That smile becomes the smile of the Lord and can change someone's life who's had the worst week. Everyone's been hard on them. Everyone's been cruel to them. But that smile can melt their heart and pierce them for the word of God to penetrate. The staff of God, the same staff. It hasn't changed, but suddenly it's got a new anointing. Suddenly it's got a new name. It's got a new identity. It's not just the smooth, whittled piece of wood that Moses carried around. No. Now he carries in his hand the staff of God by which he can do the Lord's wonders. The Lord takes something very plain, very ordinary, and he makes it his own. Here's a question to us then. What is in your hand? What do you hold open-handed before the Lord? What has He given you to do? Fantastic array of abilities and talents here with musical instruments. Think, well, I can't do what they can do. And Nisha sings and she plays so well. I can't do that. Well, phew, I'm glad we got that out of the way. Because that's what Nisha's been called to do. So what have you been called to do? Because Paul says the church, the family of God, is like a body. And each part has something to do. Well, I can't do that. That's fine then. Let others do that. Now what can you do? Well, I love hospitality. I like sitting down with people and just making them a cup of tea and asking them how they're being. Wonderful. Lay it down before me and I'll use that as the cup of tea of the Lord. Well, I like driving and I like giving people lifts here and there. Fantastic. Then lay it down before me. And as you drive people here and there, I'm going to give you opportunities to speak about me. Oh, Lord Jesus, I like running errands for people. I like encouraging people. I like sending an encouraging message by text message, or I like sending out the word for the day by email, or I like to do this. And God says, wonderful. Would you lay it down before me? You may see it as a small thing, but in my hand, it becomes the staff of the Lord. I need to understand that for my own life. I can be very hard on myself sometimes, but I need to understand this, that the common becomes mighty in the hands of our God. And when we release what's in our hands, He will release what's in His. My wife happened to have had an opportunity just very recently just to show kindness through, I don't know if any of you use social media and Facebook. I'm not a big user, not a big fan particularly, but we use it just to kind of keep an eye on what's going on in the community around us. And one of the mums from the school basically posted a message onto Facebook saying, I've had the worst week. This has gone wrong. This has gone wrong. I don't know where the money's coming from for this. And all I really fancy right now is a chocolate bar. That's all it said. And my wife just happened to read that. And as she was on the way to school to pick up the children, she passed by a shop and remembered this lady. Lord, it's just a chocolate bar. So she buys a chocolate bar. She bought a little bit of ribbon. Didn't put a name on it. Just posted it through the letterbox as she went past her house. The next thing on Facebook from this lady, I don't know who you are, my angel, but all I needed was a chocolate bar. It's as if God Himself was able to bless us. See, it's just a little thing, but just an act of obedience can open up a conversation to a big, great big God. What's that in your hand? It's just a chocolate bar. Well, in my hand, it becomes, this sounds silly, I know, it becomes the chocolate bar of the Lord. It becomes the way in. Don't discount what you have in your hand, because with God, He can do something wonderful. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 1 that the Lord takes delight in using the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. That was the cross. To man, that was foolishness. And to God, it was His means of salvation to the world, for all who would believe in Him. And I've tried to figure this one out. I've tried to ask God, why? Why do you do this? And I have to come back to what the Word tells me in Isaiah 55. Dave, my ways are just higher than your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. They're just up here. I think, God, I'll stop asking why then. I'll just be faithful. Here's what's in my hand. I'll lay it down. You may be here thinking, well, what I've got in my hand, it is really small. I don't know why it's small. I just want to encourage you, the reason it's still small is because you haven't laid it down yet. If it's still in your hand, you see, there's a wonderful principle in the Scripture. It's a promise which comes time and time again. We see it in different stories, and Jesus picks it up in some of His parables, that he who is faithful with little, to him will be given much. Say, Lord, I want to save the world. I want to see thousands of people saved. Okay, go and tell your neighbor about it. Christ. Oh, I couldn't speak to my neighbor. No, that's too close. Whoever is faithful with the little, to him will be given much to do. If you feel what I've got so small, I just want to encourage you this morning. You are His workmanship, His masterpiece, and He has created things for you to do. Lay it down before Him. Let Him pick it up and say to you, and now with this, you'll do my wonders. This was just a piece of wood, Moses, but now take with you the staff of God. Wow. I thought it was just a piece of wood. And then if you follow that story through, wherever he goes, takes it with him, dips it into the Nile. He's doing all sorts of things. The staff of Moses became the staff of the Lord. What you have, what we have, is mighty in his hands. It's not about us, because we can't boast in ourselves. But we boast, don't we? Only in the Lord. And he has given us a great opportunity. What's in your hand? Just a staff? Just 5 loaves? Just 2 fish? The widow says to Elijah in the Old Testament, 1 Kings, I've just got some oil and some flour. David, about to go out, throws off the king's armor, sees Goliath. He just goes down, I've got a sling. I'll just take 5 stones. Doesn't seem like much against a 9'6" giant of a man, does it? Who everyone's afraid of. To Isaiah, who all he has is an overflow of his heart to say, I'll go for you, send me. Something small, open-handed, but I lay it down, Lord Jesus. Would you take it up? Just one last example. You don't need to turn to this one, but in the book of Acts, chapter 3, it says one day Peter and John are going up to the temple. There's the prayer meeting, and as they're going up, they see a beggar just by the beautiful gate. And Peter and John, they stop and they say to the beggar, look at us. And so it says the beggar looks at them expecting to receive something. And they say something really extraordinary. Peter says this, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And taking him by the right hand, everything strengthens in his legs, and he comes to his feet. A great miracle occurs, and the people just cannot believe it, because this man has been here every day for years and years and years and years. But what a confession. I don't have what you think you need, but I know in the Lord what you need. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give to you. And taking him by the hand. We can feel like that sometimes, but I want to encourage you. You know what the world needs because you're believers, because the Lord is with you. Silver and gold, maybe you do have it, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And a great miracle, faithfulness with the small, a common old staff becoming the staff of God. Now, I don't know you, and you barely know me. You may be a visitor here for the first time. You may not be a believer this morning. If ever this picture finds its fulfillment in a greatest sense, it comes down to us and our salvation. Doesn't it? No, I lay my life down. I see you as you really are, Lord Jesus. I hear your word into my heart. I cry out as they did in the book of Acts. What must we do to be saved? I cry out, I lay myself down, and the Lord raises us up. We sang it, just that wonderful chorus. We've been saved by his power. Our blood has been cleansed. He's a wonderful God. Our salvation bears this out. In myself, in the world's eyes, I'm not much. A statistic, perhaps. But to God, well, he calls me his masterpiece, and he's given me things to do. And that's true for each and every one of us. If you're here and you're a believer, a Christian, then the Lord would simply say to you this morning, what's in your hand? What is in your hand? It's not much. That's not what I asked you. Just say, what's in your hand? Because if you'll lay it down and submit it to the Lord and say, Lord God, it doesn't seem very much. He'll say, I didn't ask you to measure it. I just said, what is it? Now I'll take it and I'll use it to do my wonders. He'll use each and every one of us to reach people that other people can't reach. We have a big world to reach for God, but it will be reached. Because he said he's coming again for a bride that is spotless and beautiful, without stain and blemish. And that gives me great hope that the Lord is doing great things in these days. I am of the conviction that these are the most exciting days to be alive in. Because I see what the Lord is doing all across the face of the earth. And we're involved because none of us are excluded in the body of Christ. And he simply says to us this morning, what is that in your hand? I'd just like to pray before we come to the Lord's table. Just close your eyes if you would. Heavenly Father, I want to say thank you for the body of Christ. I want to say thank you for your people, Lord Jesus, who are good and wonderful people. Thank you, Lord God, that you look at us and you say, ah, my workmanship, my masterpiece. I pray, Lord Jesus, you would help us to see ourselves how you see us, that our heads would be lifted up, that we would see, Lord Jesus, you call us to be the head and not the tail. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us each look as to what we can do for you, what we would perceive to be small, perhaps, in our own hands, that we would, Lord God, in faithfulness to you, lay it down, that, Lord Jesus, you would lift it up. Heavenly Father, we want to give you thanks for the days in which we live. Thank you that you have opportunities for each of us to do, Lord Jesus. Help us to be bold. Help us to be confident. Help us to go out with our heads high as you called us to be your mouthpiece to this world. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. God is so good.